It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're presently studying in the book of Ephesians, and we're in chapter 4. Last time we talked about Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Well, Hebrews 10, 25, I remind you, it says exhorting one another. We are to encourage, exhort each other to be in our place in our local church the closer we get to the Lord's Day, Sunday. If you do not belong to a local church, how in the world could you exhort anyone to go to church? If a person is not a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, then based on the Word of God, that person is in disobedience to God's Word. The Word of God says we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves and save people. This is save people together. We are to exhort one another daily to assemble. Well, how can you or I exhort someone to assemble in the house of God if you or I refuse to assemble in the house of God, the local church? It's important for us to remember that simply going to church saves no one. We're going to look at that in this study as we keep going. There are certain things that people look to and think that they're going to go to heaven if they do certain things. There's only one way to go to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. But notice once again that we are to exhort one another. We're to help our fellow believers, to help them understand the importance of belonging to a good Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. And as we think of a local church, many people say, well, local churches are not like they used to be. There are so many problems and everything. Well, you're going to find as you live this Christian life that we all have problems, that there will be problems as long as people are present, even in a local church. But Christ has given us all we need as the body of Christ to assemble ourselves together. He's made that possible. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11 again says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Well, there's a view that some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers were given to the church as gifts. For what purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. That's the reason that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers were given to the church. Now, I have no problem of looking at these offices that we find in the Word of God. I have no problem of looking at them as gifts from God. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 goes on to say, now let's read verses 11 and 12 before we get into verse 13 again. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Well, how long does Christ give the church, and that's the body of Christ, save people, how long does he give what and who is needed to the local church? Well, Ephesians 4:13 tells us how long he's going to do this, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, Christ doesn't stop giving, but sometimes churches choose to quit receiving the gifts of God. And on the other hand, there are those who refuse to accept that certain gifts from God to the early church have ceased. Now, I believe we've talked about this before, but I want to look at it again. It's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 10 says, "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." There are certain things that, and certain gifts that God gave to the early church that's not needed today. The Bible says that which is perfect has come. The Bible tells us that that which is perfect has come. And now we know that Jesus Christ was perfect and he came into the world. But this is speaking afterwards. After Jesus Christ came into the world, that which is perfect when it has come. And this is the completed word of God, the Bible. That is what is perfect. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says this, "All scripture is given by the inspiration of God." It's God-breathed. "And is profitable for doctrine." It's worth something. "For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." For what purpose? Verse 17 says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, when we see these two words, thoroughly furnished, it means to finish out. In other words, to equip fully. And in other words, the man of God has everything needed to present the whole counsel of God to God's people in the local church, in the Word of God, the Bible. Now, Paul the Apostle in Miletus called for the elders of the local church at Ephesus to let them know he had told them everything they needed to lead the church at Ephesus. He says, "There's no doubt I've given you the counsel of God, the whole counsel of God." And he says that the information he had provided to them was complete and had come from God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 17 and says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." Verse 27 of Acts 20 says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Well, now today, Paul the Apostle still gives the whole counsel of God to local churches in his writings found in over half of the New Testament. Now, some gifts God gave to the early church is no longer needed, as they were sign gifts. And we think of one of those gifts that God gave to the early church was that of tongues. You see, many are confused about the gift of tongues, thinking it was and is being able to speak, if I could use the term, angelically. This thinking, of course, is not biblical. The gift of tongues given to the early church, as evidenced on the day of Pentecost, was the ability to speak in a foreign language. In other words, a tongue. A foreign tongue, a foreign language. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues," in other words, other languages, "as the Spirit gave them utterance." Now, on the day of Pentecost, there were present people from every nation, the Bible says, and God wanted every person to hear in their own tongue language the message that Peter preached that day. Notice, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men," notice this, "out of every nation under heaven," Acts chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, God names two representations present at Pentecost who could not hear the gospel on the day of Pentecost without someone with the gift of tongues being able to speak in a foreign language without previously knowing or using that tongue or language. Acts chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Cretes," these are inhabitants of Greece, "Cretes and Arabians," Arabians, inhabitants of Arabia. They said, we do hear them speak, the people speaking, the people giving out the word of God, Peter and the other apostles, we do hear them speak in our tongues, languages, the whole, it says, the wonderful works of God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem," all these nations had come there. They were living there at that time during this day of Pentecost, during this time of Pentecost. He says, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." We see Peter went on to preach Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, the people present there, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now notice this, the gift of the Holy Ghost was not the gift of tongues, but the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." When you get saved, you get more than eternal life. You get the Holy Spirit. You get God living with you. He's with us. The Holy Spirit of God indwells every believer. Now notice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, where Peter wrote under the inspiration of God. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Peter did not write, "Repent, be baptized, and speak in tongues, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." He did not say that you get saved by speaking in tongues. And by the way, he did not say you get saved by being baptized. Notice, first of all, the person repents. Repent and be baptized. Repent means that you've changed your mind. You're not going to try to go your way anymore. You're going to go God's way. You're not going to anymore try to go to heaven your way, but you're going to go God's way. God's way is through Jesus Christ. That's the way any person ever gets saved. There is no other way to get to heaven. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's what Peter was preaching that day. He said, you must be born again, in other words. You've got to repent. Change your mind about how you're going to get to heaven. You're not going to go any other way, not your way. You're going to have to go God's way in order to go to heaven. Peter did not write, "Repent, be baptized, and speak in tongues, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Repent. And after you repent, after you get saved, then you get baptized. Repent. King James Bible has a comma there. After repent, repent. Be baptized. In other words, repent. Then be baptized. You follow Jesus Christ in believer's baptism, letting the world know that you have been saved. You're a representation of Jesus Christ, a representation of Jesus Christ being crucified, buried, and resurrected on that third day. You're standing in that water. You're standing there as a testimony that Jesus Christ was crucified. When you go under the water, it's a representation of Jesus being buried in that tomb. And then when you come up out of that water, that's a representation of Jesus Christ rising from the dead on that third day. And I say, glory to God, that's the way a person is saved. That's the way anyone in this world is ever saved. It's by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the death, burial, and resurrection. You receive Him as God, your Savior, because He came to seek and to save you. A person who needed salvation, a person that realizes that they are not going to go their way, but they need to go God's way. And that's the only way. They trust Jesus Christ to cleanse them from all unrighteousness so that one day they can see Him personally and say, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul." Trust Him today as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart right now.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.